the people on the mountain when God came to talk to Moses, and there's lightnings and thunder and everything going on, and the voice, and they said, whoa, let him talk to you. Don't let him say anything else to us, or we're going to die. You know, the power is really unimaginable. When he passed over, when he said, I'm going to put my hand over you to Moses. Moses said, I want to see you. He said, you can't see my face. You can't do it. But I'll put my hand over you, let my backside pass by you. Do you understand how much power is involved? Praise allows you to plug into that. I do know people. Because, you know, we're all God's kids, right? But this praise is not praising him so he's going to be pleased with you and give you whatever it is you're asking for. I was going to talk a fair amount about that. I just want to say this in passing. We all do that. We all do that up to a point. But that should not be your motivation. We shouldn't be trying to flatter God. You know, most of y'all have children. You can tell when they're coming up to you, oh, you're so wonderful, and you're going, yeah, what do you want, right? God sees you coming a mile off, okay? But it's not wrong for you to praise him in expectation that he will do what he's already said he will do. His covenant loyalty is without end, right? He was the one that made the covenant. You didn't think about it. You didn't know anything about it. It was his idea. So it's okay, but don't try to be sneaky about it. He already knows the knottiness of your heart, right? That's all said about that. So moving on, the connection that's made with him, meditating on that, thought about, y'all may remember back in November, we went through an attitude of gratitude with the power of praise, right? And we emphasized it. But I remembered, it's back a couple of years ago, I think it was the summer, maybe 24, we spent some time in a number of verses, but what I believe the Spirit of God brought to mind to give to you, which is a very powerful truth, but let's walk through it. There were two places. One was in Nehemiah, the 8th chapter, specifically the 10th verse. The other one was in Matthew, where Jesus was in the temple and the children came in, right? Matthew, the 21st verse. 21st chapter, sorry. Okay, so let's talk about Nehemiah for a minute. Those of you who are familiar with the story, Nehemiah was sent back into from exile into Israel to Jerusalem to restore the temple, right? And there was a lot of stuff going on. People that were there, they were working. They had a lot of resistance coming against them. It was kind of tough. Then, as the work continued, they decided that they were going to bring out the book of the law, Moses, and they were going to read it before all of the people. And so they would start in the morning and read until midday. And they did that several days. And the people were freaking out. They were under such conviction and such weight. They were crying and they were weeping. And so Nehemiah said, hey, we're going to set up a day. This is going to be a holy day. Consecrate it to the Lord. And basically what he told everybody, he said, eat the fat, drink the sweet, do not grieve. And then we have that phrase that I know we all know, for the joy of the Lord is your strength, right? The joy of the Lord is your strength. I'm pretty sure I shared this, but it was very briefly, some months ago. Because that's one thing when I'm spending time interceding over you guys, it says that that we experience the We are being endued with power down from the proper reflection of his dominion into all cheerful constancy, long-lasting enthusiasm with joy, kindness, delight, right? So, thinking of all the words about joy, one of the first things that came to my mind, because I've known it my whole life, the joy of the Lord is your strength. Digging into it, the word joy there is actually really different than the normal word used for joy in the Old Testament. The word is chedva. Chedva. It's only used twice. And it's not exactly joy, it's rejoicing. Okay? That's a different picture. Rejoicing. If you're rejoicing, you're probably joyful. If you're rejoicing, it might be because of joy, but when you're rejoicing, you're doing something, right? You are rejoicing. The rejoicing of the Lord is your strength. Ma'uz, strength. Only this word isn't just strong. This word has a connotation of place. It's not just your strength. It is your stronghold. It is a fortified place, a strong place. So what, remember the picture. They're there in Jerusalem. They're rebuilding the temple. They got people coming against them. They're having to even work with a sword in their hand, right? And Nehemiah says, do this. Eat the fat, drink the sweet, don't grieve. For the rejoicing of the stronghold of God is your strength. This fortified place. This fortified place of God. That's there for you. That's what you enter into when you begin to rejoice before God. You enter into a fortified position. Remember what I said a minute ago? God only does something because, right? And it's always a good reason. It's love because he is love. He knows what it'll do for you. It'll connect to him. It will put you rejoicing before God, put you in a fortified, say fortified. Y'all getting this yet or I need to get louder? Fortified position. That's a good place, right? You're in a fortress of God. That's good. That's good. Yeah. You're in a fortified place. Rejoicing in him puts you in a fortified position. Now let's ease back over to Matthew chapter 21, there in the temple.